household energy bills are set to rocket. We've heard arguments that we should be drilling harder under the North Sea to get as much of what's left in there out to build up a kind of fuel reserve closer to home. But researchers at Oxford University have described that theory as sheer fantasy. So what would help? And what should we brace ourselves for if the Strait of Hormuz doesn't reopen soon? Well, Paul DeLieu is Director of the Energy Transition Institute at Robert Gordon University in Aberdeen. He joins me now, as does Tessa Khan, who's Director of the Climate Research Campaign Group Uplift. Good morning, both of you. Paul, let me come to you first. There is an oil shortage. It's getting more and more acute with every passing day, it seems. There's a sizeable reservoir just off our coast. Our governments have decided not to allow companies to drill any further into it. Why don't we just let them do that? Why wouldn't that help? Do you think this is sheer fantasy, this idea that if we get more out of the North Sea, it brings our bills down?
Yeah, I don't think it is. And good morning. It's not a binary choice. I think we need to do it all. And the reason is, in the future, we're going to have a renewables future. We absolutely know that. I see other countries like Spain, Portugal, Norway, and Sweden. It will be cheaper for the consumer. But we're not there yet. And in the interim, we probably need all the energy sources available to us to make it happen, because it isn't a binary choice. It's all about energy security, affordability for the customer, but also to make sure we drive the climate sustainability as well. So government has to make the choice, and absolutely all our resources in the North Sea, all the resources in the UK should be up there, particularly in the time of now, where such an uncertainty around the world, and we have it on our doorstep, so please, let's use it.
But it doesn't come to us, does it? It goes on to a global market, and then we just buy it at the market price. I mean, the fact that it's off our shore is almost coincidental, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not exactly right. So there's some gas fields like Jackdaw being developed, which will, of course, come to the UK. But we shouldn't forget that in the last kind of 40 or 50 years, we have dramatically changed our economy. In the 1970s, we had 17 refineries. We now have 4 refineries left. So there's simply no place to take it at the moment. It doesn't mean it's going to disappear very far, because a lot of oil will likely go to European refineries, add to energy resilience in Europe, and come back a refined product. So having it on our doorstep in the vicinity here is really important, particularly in a world where energy security is so uncertain.
Tessa Khan, as the director of a climate research and campaign group, I suspect you are bursting to come in, so please do. What do you make of what you've just heard from Paul?
Well, good morning, Martin and Paul. I think the main concern that people have at the moment is energy affordability. And on that score, both this Oxford study and both the government and the oil and gas industry itself will admit that all the North Sea oil and gas drilling in the world won't make a difference to the price that we end up paying for it. And what this study makes clear is that even in a best-case scenario where we tax the oil and gas industry and, you know, and this is an unrealistic assumption, redistribute all of that tax income to ordinary families, it still makes a marginal difference to people's energy bills compared to the significant decreases in the price of energy that we would end up paying if we really focus on a transition to renewable energy. And, you know, what I would also say is that the North Sea as a basin is in decline. Its best years were sort of 20 years behind it. We've been drilling for 50 years, and there's actually very little gas that's actually left in the North Sea. And as you mentioned, we end up exporting more than 80% of our oil. So if you look at, for example, how much gas has been produced by a decade of licensing, you know, we've issued hundreds of new licenses for oil and gas drilling in the last decade, and research shows that that's produced in sum total about 30 days worth of gas demand in the UK. That's really how little gas is now left. What's left is very expensive to extract, which is why the oil and gas industry is constantly lobbying for lower tax rates to make it profitable to actually go after those resources. So really there is, I think, only false hope to be had in looking to the North Sea for affordable and secure energy, whereas we've got these massive renewable energy resources that are waiting to be fully tapped.
Yeah, I mean, look, the study, the researchers in this study go into that, and they put a number on that. They say if a UK fully equipped for renewable energy, if our power was all from wind or whatever, and we had heat pumps and solar panels in our houses, we'd save about £441 per year on the average bill. But that's a vast investment. Anybody who's thought about refitting their houses with a heat pump or with solar panels or whatever knows it costs you thousands of £10,000, perhaps more. You get some maybe in a grant or in a loan, but not all of it. It's fantasy to think that anywhere near now we will have a country that works like that, isn't it? And in the meantime, are we not better off just getting whatever juice is left under the North Sea out and using it?
Well, I mean, I guess I'd say a couple of things to that. The first is that the cost of those technologies are declining all the time, and heat pumps, you know, with government support are going to be about as cost competitive as installing and running a gas boiler in the years to come. It's the same with electric vehicles. And, you know, I think most importantly, if we stay with the way that we heat our homes and run our cars now, people's energy bills are going to spike through the roof, which is what we saw in 2022 after Russia invaded Ukraine, and the government ends up spending tens of billions of pounds supporting ordinary families. And as I said, even if we were to go as far as we could in drilling for more oil and gas in the North Sea, you know, that is going to make an absolutely marginal difference to the overall amount of energy that we can have access to, and it doesn't change the price that we pay for it. And the price is what is really stressing people around the country out at the moment, to say nothing, of course, about the climate impacts of more oil and gas drilling, which also are going to cost families.
Well, let's talk about the price then. I mean, look, you study these things. There was an Iranian government spokesperson earlier this, or last week rather, saying, look, if you want to see oil hit $200 a barrel, just keep doing what you're doing in our part of the world, saying that to the Israelis and the Americans. And it kind of, that news got buried. But as we watch what's happening, and we watch the Strait of Hormuz shut, and we kind of brace ourselves, and oil experts around the world say, hang on a second, this is about to get really serious. What do you think, it is possible that we could hit that kind of price, $200 a barrel? And if we do, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I think absolutely there's a real reality check here. I mean, the UK as a nation, collectively, we consume around 2.5 million barrels of oil and gas every single day, every day of the year. We produce about 1 million barrels from the North Sea, so around 1.5 million barrels gets imported every single day. So we are exposed to international markets, international prices. But this is where the really tricky bit comes in. And again, the argument is going backwards and forwards, but look around what other countries around us are doing, who actually have very clear environmental policies. Look at what Norway is doing, providing energy resilience to Europe and providing the oil and gas we need in the interim. The Netherlands has recently changed their policy and they're now looking at selective gas developments in the North Sea. Denmark, who's a stalwart of renewables, have just 4 weeks ago changed the policy saying this is not working. We need to look at balancing it with oil and gas as well. Yeah. So the world is changing because of the shocks we have seen, first of Russia invading Ukraine and now in the Middle East. It is about energy, it's about balance, it's about the climate. It's not just about one thing. It's about, for government have to balance energy dilemma. So actually, we're having a winning outcome. And this is really serious because the UK is going a different route than most other countries in Northwest Europe at the moment.
Right, listen, to be continued. But thank you both for your contributions to that discussion. More